everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 396. Can you believe these guys have done nearly 400 episodes of this show where we talk about Android App Addicts? That's the name of the show, where we talk about Android apps, we talk about phones, we talk about whatever Door wants to talk about, pretty much. My name is Mark. Good to be here with you, and I'm joined by your friends and mine, Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin, and Eric, the great Deanie, Ardini. So, hey, gentlemen, how are you?
The great Deanie. We need to patent that. Trademark it.
Yeah, I'm right on that. Hey, speaking of show 400, Mark Sorrell is a listener of the show, and he's a producer now. He was a guest last week on the show. I just want to throw this out there. He has the official show 400 Android Wear watch face, Android App Addicts Wear watch face for the 400th show. And you can have your own name on your watch and just check it out on Google Plus and you'll find it. And he's got a couple different, he's got a couple ones where you can pay for it and do some customization of your own or just have it stocked the way he makes it for you.
So do I have to be in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community to see that face?
No. I think you can see that face on Google Plus if you find Mark.
Okay. No, Mark only posted it to the group. He only made the offer available to buy the faces to the group.
Oh,
okay. You can still download it if you know how to find it, but you're not going to be able to find the purchase deal.
Oh, okay. So you could probably get one that says Eric Ardini, then. The stock one that I got to beta test for him. Who would want that on their phone other than me, though, or on their watch other than me?
Me. But if you go to podcast.com/AAA club, that's where you can join up to the club. 24 hours after joining the club, you will get an email asking if you want to be a part of the community. All you have to do is reply with a valid Google email address that's connected to a Google Plus account. And then I can add you via that, and voila, you're in the community. You can scroll back in time, see Mark's postings, see all the previous show postings, and see all the inside chatter.
So, Dory, you just made me think of something. There's the chatter in the tech world is that Google Plus is dead. You know, Google Plus has been declared dead many times now. But, you know, I see lots of Android apps and developers for Android apps that require a Google Plus profile because it's their easy way to link information to you and you know, without having to ask you for your name and your picture and all that sort of stuff. What do you think about the whole Google Plus is a ghost town thing that we hear all the time?
Well, part of the reason you see such active Google Plus Android-related stuff is for a little while, maybe 9 months there, if you wanted to offer beta apps for people, they had to join a Google Plus community. That didn't last very long, maybe 5 months. But I do think it's a hotbed, I'll put it this way, of more technical socializing. There's a lot less grandparents than on Facebook, and there's a lot less celebrities that are on Twitter. And I'll say, if elections in the United States has proven one thing, it's that grandparents have no problem expressing opinions. So that seems to be a lot of the Facebook traffic. On Twitter, there's a lot of broadcasting of celebrities on what kind of tofu they think is the best. On Google Plus, I find it to be the most technical conversation of all the social communities out there. And I'm very fine with anybody and everybody saying it's dead. Fine. Get away. Yeah. Go on Facebook. Go on Twitter. Go on whatever you want to go on and leave the technical nerds, if you will, on Google Plus. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I like seeing communities built around development of anything. I found more than a couple open source applications where that's where they host their information. That's where they announce where things are going on. I see much more in-depth technical conversations about, the price of freedom, what does free mean kind of thing on Google Plus. Where on Facebook, all I see is, I saw my grandkids today. I'm going back to my high school. And on Twitter, all I see is, did you watch that movie? It was awesome. So,
and there's a place for all of that, right? You don't have to be all of those things. Each one of those things can be good at that. So let's say you're Sundar Pichai for a day, and you're the CEO of Google, and you're sitting there. What do you think you would do with Google? Are you going to pour resources into it? Are you going to pull resources off? Or do you think it's fine like it is?
I would try to refocus it on only technical arenas. Like they took down Google Code. they were trying to replace it with something else. Encouraging the, instead of going to Google Groups or instead of going to those places, coming to Google Plus, I think would be a valid option. I honestly like to tie in with Google Hangouts and Google Plus. I think that also makes sense. And the Google On Air Live Events. I think that's a great way to bring YouTube viewers back into the Google Plus stream, but they could only be, they would more than likely only pay attention to that channel or that person or that group. And I'm perfectly fine with that as well.
Yeah, YouTube is just the weird uncle that comes to Thanksgiving dinner. And you know, he's entertaining and funny, but you're glad he leaves at the end of the day. When they brought the YouTube community into Google Plus, it was kind of a, you know, it wore out its welcome pretty quickly. And the YouTube people weren't too happy about it either. They wanted to get their anonymity back. Eric, what do you think about the whole Google Plus thing? Where would you put it? Where do you think it needs to be versus where it is?
I like where it is right now. I don't understand. I don't know if it was costing them too much, but why on my regular Chrome homepage did they take away the plus Eric up in the corner so that I could easily get to Google Plus without having to go to the menu and then go into Google Plus? I don't know what that served removing that. So that was kind of bad. I mean, if all of my high school classmates. Yeah, my classmates showed up on Google Plus, I'd go to Orkut. Or what, you know, that's why I'm here. I don't know. It's perfect. I mean, the people I really want to socialize with are here on Google Plus. And then Hangouts is just like a nice bonus. You know, if I don't like Skype. If I'm out of town and I want to talk to my family, Hangouts works great. Google, there's nothing I'm really missing that anything else offers me that I can tell. Maybe because
you guys have both mentioned Hangouts. I think that's interesting. Google's really been pouring a lot into Hangouts, right? There, I'm a Google Voice user, and it said, hey, we want you to roll that into Hangouts now. I use Hangouts on my Nexus 5 as my SMS. It wants to put that there. It seems like the push now, both, you know, with Google and Facebook, with WhatsApp, and they're really trying to push to capture the messaging market, and they want to be the one place for all your messaging. But I think what you hit on there is we don't necessarily want one place to talk to everybody. We want silos. I know that when I go here, these are the people I talk to. And when I go here, these are the people I talk to.
Yeah. Leo Laporte's been on the rampage for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, talking about what he wants is federated messaging, one central app or interface to where he can communicate with everything. And I'm with you, Mark. I don't want that. I'm not even really super fond of Hangouts as a messenger per se. I'm fond of Hangouts as an extension of Google Plus, how I can utilize it from that interface. And I do think, like you said also, there should be as many social spots for as many types of activities as there can be. You can have athletes hovering around this social thing. You can have, educators around this social thing. You could have, you know, high-income males. Oh, that's Ashley Madison. Never mind. But you could have all kinds of people around other kinds of places, just doing whatever they want to do. And I will say, Eric, if you do open up Chrome, the default interface on the top left, you should have a little button that says apps. Uh-huh. That's how I quickly get to my Google Plus, is after launching the apps, I see web store, because I have installed apps, YouTube, Google Docs, Gmail, Google Search, Plants vs. Zombies, Google Plus, Shift Edit, Inkscape, Plex, stuff like that. So I have Google Plus near my homepage, and I can make this my default page too, which is actually Chrome /apps. So you can make it to where you can get to Google Plus quickly. It's just not the default, and I agree. I think it's stupid to not have that.
Well, I can get to it just as quickly if I hit that same kind of menu to the right of my name, where it says Eric, and then it's got those little dots.
Right.
Oh, wait. Maybe I can't. I thought that's how I got there before. That was how I got Gmail. Anyway, I don't know. Did they change something just today? I don't remember. I don't remember this menu.
The thing about Google is you can't get used to anything.
Well, Google,
you just can't.
Now I don't remember all of these things here before.
Those are the apps.
Google Plus way down there. Yeah. Huh? I must have something set up differently on a different computer.
This is the quote unquote beauty and the curse of quote unquote cloud applications.
Right.
You're not in charge or accountable for anything, so you never know when something's going to change.
Yeah, this just
I think Chrome did just update today, so maybe you got that new update.
That could be. Maybe they should just put the plus back in front of my name. My name's there. What do I need to see my name? Let me just click it and go to Google Plus.
You're pretty sure you know what your name is.
Yeah,
right?
I don't really need my name there unless it says it has a plus sign in front of it. Just take it away then. I don't care.
All right, so that's what we think. Let's hear what our listeners think. This is the Wednesday show, the email show, but we're going to start the email show with a voicemail from a listener. Dor, ready when you are.
Hi, this is Brad from across Wisconsin again. The last message I messed up on. I'm wondering if you could give me a recommendation of what type of tablet to buy, Android version, which is best on the market right now. I do have a birthday coming up on August 24th, and I'm in the market for one, but I just want to be able to make a great purchase. Which is the best one out there? Because there's so many of them, it's not even funny. And being an Android enthusiast as I am, and knowing you guys, you're really good at bringing applications to do with Android, and I was just wondering if you could give me some suggestion, if you would.
There you go.
I guess it depends on your price range. To me, the best I've had a lot of tablets. I've had a few Windows and Android, but you know, I really still like the 2013 Nexus 7. But I did just get a and this really made me pause for a second. Jolla. Jolla just came out with a new tablet, and as of today, you can pre-order it. And it doesn't run Android, but you can install Android apps on it. It has Sailfish OS. It looks really nice. It's very cool looking. The edges wrap around the screen, like wraps around the edges. I don't know. I don't know anything about this company, but they've got a really good looking device here.
I think that's the remnants of the Mego OS, Ding. If I remember correctly.
And you just literally took a rusty spike and just drove it into Mark's back. Because he's been wanting Mego to die now for like
double
5 years.
Tap it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They say it's very intuitive OS. Not quite, huh?
Well, I don't know. It's just that it's the zombie OS. It's been brought to life and killed and brought to life and killed by 5 different companies over the last 6 years. And it just won't go away.
That's not what the Palm Pre had on it, was it?
No, that was Web OS.
Oh, okay.
Which apparently was pretty good.
People seem to love that. To start my response to them is productchart.com/tablets. This is my go-to when I want to, A, be overwhelmed by the sheer number of devices, but also to have an interactive search of either specs, models, OSs of devices to see what's out there. Now, this is not 100%. I'm sure there's stuff that's not in this list, like the Jolla tablet, which some people have. He's not here. I'm also interested by that, Eric, but only interested. Okay, here's my thing. He didn't give us any prerequisites. Is it a gaming tablet? Is it an education tablet? Is it a spousal approval tablet? Is it a content consumption tablet? Does he want to try to be productive on the tablet? So I'm just going to go with my most generic answer of all, which is I still utterly believe RAM is directly proportional to the happiness and experience of any Android device. What I'm going to do on this productchart.com/tablets is I'm going to take the RAM and I'm going to push it up to 3 gigs. And once you push it up to 3 gigs, you see the number of choices dies off incredibly. And then if you go to OS and pick Android, you see there's only 3 tablets listed.
Really?
Yes. Samsung Galaxy Tab S 8.4, a Sony Xperia Z3, and a Samsung Galaxy Tab 5 10.5. The lower one, the 8.4 screen Samsung is $269. The Sony is a 10-inch, 8-inch screen, $439. And then the Samsung Tab S10 is $425. This, I guarantee you, if you buy this, would be the best tablet for the longest period of time, as long as you don't break the screen. Any one of these. It's just a question, do you want 8-inch or do you want 10-inch? Because with 3 gigs of RAM, this will still be a very quality device, even if it's even if it doesn't get an OS upgrade for 3 years, you'll still be able to use this just fine. Where a lot of other Android devices, after a year or so, you literally will probably want to throw it against a wall.
Stepping down a bit in performance and price to more real world, 3 gigs of RAM is a lot to ask for on a machine. I just recently bought a tablet for my 11-year-old for her 11th birthday, and I went with the LG G-Pad 8-inch tablet. And I bought it because I could get it at podnuts.com/Amazon for about $180, which is a pretty reasonable price. It was reviewed well. I like the 8-inch size. It's a good size. But I bought it for my kid, right? And so it was relatively inexpensive, and I wouldn't be totally devastated if she cracked it the first day. So I got it home, and I was setting it up for her a couple of weeks before her birthday, getting everything ready and logging into her account, all that sort of stuff. And this thing is like butter. It's running Lollipop. It's only got a gig of RAM, but it really uses it well. The interface is slick and it feels good in the hand. There's some LG cruft on it, right? It's not a pure Android experience, but it's dialed back. It's subtle. It's not like the Samsung TouchWiz that tries to take over. So that would be my recommendation. The LG G-Pad, the 8-inch version, is a really solid tablet for general purpose use. It's not high performance, but most of us don't need high performance.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I'll say the Note 5, the Galaxy 6, the OnePlus 2 all have 4 gigs of RAM in them. A lot of the higher end phones have at least 3 gigs of RAM in them. I'm shocked at the few tablets with 2 or more gigs of RAM in them. So I'm guessing what we're paying for on the tablets is screen and screen quality, maybe.
Yeah. Another tablet I would have him look at, because this one intrigues me, is the Dell Venue 10 7000. I do like the thought of a huge battery in it that this one has. And it is odd though, because it's got a weird rounded one edge of it is like a maglite cylinder attached to the part of it, but that's holding your battery, and it also just lays right into a curved part on the keyboard dock.
Well, that makes sense. That shape makes sense because you can get a very good looking keyboard that snaps right into that rounded part. So now the rounded part is like a hinge. So the shape is actually functional once you see the keyboard.
And I used to have an Asus Transformer, which was a 10-inch tablet similar to that. But that was a little early in their days. You know, that was my first
tablet. I have that tablet. It was a solid tablet, but it was early. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think this one looks like it's got speakers on it. This just looks like a really nice piece of equipment.
That was one of the few tablets running Honeycomb, and Honeycomb just shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but I love the cereal.
Yes.
Well.
And the cute little bee.
Yes. Right.
No, just me.
Even though he was kind of psychotic.
Hey, speaking of cereals and sweets, so I heard this week it's marshmallow for sure.
Yes.
Have you guys, I haven't heard anything that is coming in marshmallow. Have you guys heard any of the rumors or anything at all?
And to me, it's the biggest thing, period, people have been screaming about for years, which is you can install an app, not grant any permissions to it. And then as you're running the app, as it needs access to other parts of the OS, whether it's SD card, contact list, web access, you can individually say no to it.
And
if the app is well written, then it will correctly still work, but work around its need to access whatever part that you denied it access to.
Smart. Yeah.
I got to say, I really think Google missed an opportunity on their statue that they have of Marshmallow out there. It really should have been the Stave Tough Marshmallow Man dressed in the green Android colors. That would have been amazing.
I mean, I don't know how much more
maybe,
of a perfect
maybe match. Stepping on a church, even. That would have been perfect.
Yeah. I don't know how you could have got a more of a natural match made in heaven than that, but they didn't do it. You know, I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to pay the royalties. I don't know.
True. Maybe.
Well, I think they got enough flack about Kit Kat. They decided just not to do that one anymore. Okay, so moving on to a little bit more listener email. This one comes from Adam. Do you guys say last names on your show?
We try.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't pronounce them, so no, I don't.
Okay. I kind of have a rule on my show that unless you ask specifically, I don't say last names, just a privacy thing.
We'll put up a Google survey on whether last names should be in or not from the Android App Addict show going forward or something.
So this is from Adam Flint, and he says, on episode 374, Door brought an app called Football Manager Classic 2015. This is a very long-running game that first appeared on home computers in 1992 under its original name of Championship Manager. It changed its name to Football Manager in 2004 when the original creators, two English programming brothers, switched publishers to Sega, leaving the original name behind. Please tell your Android App Addict listeners that, as well as the tablet-focused classic edition that Door brought, there is a cheaper handheld edition for phones, which is priced at £6.99 in the UK as compared to £14.99 for the classic edition. I've been a huge fan of this game since the early 1990s, and I'm currently playing the 2014 handheld version on my Samsung Galaxy Note 2. Love the show. Over the Pond Geek.
Very cool. Yeah, I had no idea the app I was bringing had such tradition, dare I say.
I don't have much to say. I don't do much for football, that kind of football. I don't get into it too much.
So is this football or football?
This is soccer.
Jeez. It's football. We have oval pigskin helmet
hand
ball.
Egg.
Yeah. There's no reason why it shouldn't be called football. I don't know why we call it where soccer even came from, but I don't know why America took football for ours. I have no idea, but I have to differentiate them somehow.
Yeah,
when I'm speaking to people around here. So
I'm looking for the 2014 handheld version, and we didn't get a link. So I'm going to guess it's literally called Football Manager Handheld 2015 Sega Sports, $8.99.
Sounds like it.
And I will say these. I mean, this, for instance, 12,000 reviews of it with over 100,000 to 500,000 downloads. So, yeah, people seem to like their football over there.
Cool.
I'm actually starting to getting into it a little bit, but I don't know if I'm going to become one of those guys who have to fly to London for a game or something.
You know, I'm just looking at the screenshots here. This looks like way more work than I'm willing to do to play a game.
Well, one thing I can say, Mark, we here in the United States of America are just merely fans. Overseas, they are fanatics.
Indeed.
About things. So I understand where if an American looks at this and just says, I don't have that many hours in a day to devote to that. Where over there, they just dig in, have a pint and go at it.
Well, they got fantasy leagues and stuff here, though, too. Some people really get into. I'm just not into sports. I mean, you could have the greatest sport in the world. I still would be like, meh, okay.
I ran a fantasy football league for several years, American football, but it was the laziest league in the world. It was auto draft, and I would make my picks 40 seconds before the first game. It was just, I spent no time and effort on it, and it was great. What I liked about it is it gave you a reason to watch a game you ordinarily wouldn't care about. You know, if the Raiders and the Falcons are playing, why would I, as a Dallas fan, care about that? But if I need that running back to get 90 yards to beat my other guy, see, it's going back to what I was talking about in the last show. If you make it a competition, Everything is more fun.
Yes, and I will say, I still like Mark, even though he's a Cowboys fan.
I respect him too,
and I respect him.
I grew up near Dallas. It's in my contract.
I
have to be a fan.
No. My logic is if you suddenly say, I'm an Eagles fan or something, somebody from the Dallas area will drive over there and literally kick your door in.
Lots of handguns in Texas. You got to watch out for that.
One thing I do like about American football, it's much better on TV than it is in real life.
Thought you were going to say the cheerleaders.
It's played in the cold weather. And unless you are running chain gang, there's really not a great seat to see the game from. It's either way down there or way over there, or on the other
side. Say this about any sport: your biggest game, your championship of championships, can be won 1-0, you need to re-examine your sport.
See, that's what they say. They pride themselves on not needing 14 versus 21, 36 versus 45 kind of scores. They pride themselves on only needing that one score.
a football, an American football game could be won,
not 1-0,
2-0,
2 or 3. Yeah. And realistically, 28 is 4. We Americans like everything bigger. So that's 7 points for what we just did.
For one goal, 7 points. And then baseball can be won 1-0 also.
Yeah, but baseball is boring and slow.
As could hockey. Basketball could technically be 1-0. Any sport could be 1-0, Mark.
That's what I'm saying. You need to re-examine your sport if you can win the major championship 1-0. Maybe if they made the goals bigger.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
people
are really hating the new guy about now.
That'd be Americanizing it, because every year they add American football adds more stuff to make it more easy for everybody. The field goals, people aren't making them enough, so let's screw that up. And the kickoffs, let's just let them kick out of the end zone every time so nobody has to run things back anymore.
And whatever you do, don't hit the guy in pads.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty soon, if you insult the quarterback, it's going to be a penalty.
I'm excited to see baseball go into computerized robotic umpires for calling strikes and balls, though. That time's come. We don't need humanized making those decisions at 100 miles an hour anymore. No, we got cameras.
Interesting. I don't know that I agree with you on that.
Well, who are they going to kick the dirt at and throw their hat at?
I don't know. Better get a dust protector.
All right, moving on to our next voicemail before we dig the hole any deeper. Or not voicemail, but email. This is from Todd Evans. It says, "Hey guys, I stumbled across a post on Facebook. Don't hate me. Technically, I suppose we could call it a regurgitation. BoomerangGmail.com. I shared the email app Boomerang to the show in episode 156 and 232, the missing episode. Well, it's now an extension for Gmail and Outlook. I installed the extension in my Chrome browser, and it's pretty nice at first glance. The main reason I use it is for scheduling emails to send in the future. I had stopped using the app because it had no save as draft feature, so it really limited usability for me. I like many options provided to schedule an email for delivery or redelivery. The free basic level extension has usability issues since it only allows you to use it on 10 messages per month and does not function on mobile. There are pay structures with increased options and prices. The cheapest monthly rate is $4.99 for unlimited messages, send later, response tracking, reminders, read receipts, click tracking. The disparity in price and function between the free basic level and the $4.99 personal level seems a bit exaggerated in my opinion. I would feel comfortable paying a monthly fee if it was much less than $4.99. I would not consider myself a power user of email, but I do really like the send later function. However, I can't see myself paying that high of a subscription rate for features I only use moderately. Maybe this would beat others users' needs. Hope to have made a positive contribution regardless of my personal take on it. Always keep up your awesome work."
Cool. I gotta say, I was just at this website checking this out. I've never used it. The place I work at uses Outlook, so I just kind of use that all the time.
Well, no, you can use this with Outlook. Outlook has they have a extension you can use in Outlook with it.
The thing I like is Jen Clark. Her testimonial on here: "I use Boomerang to make people think I get up early to write emails, and also to sleep on things I'm not sure about." That's a great use for something like that. I was just when you were reading the email, I was thinking, well, why would I ever want to schedule an email to be sent out later? Because I'm kind of I feel like if something's inevitable, just do it and get it done. But that's a good way to people. Oh my gosh, he's up at 5:30 in the morning writing emails to me. He's really dedicated.
Well, you want to send that email to your boss right after you quit, mm-hmm. right? You want to schedule it so that's like 5 minutes after you flip him the bird.
Oh, that's
Or let's say Friday you want to leave town, but then Friday at 7:59 you want to send the email into work saying, "I'm going to be out today."
I don't have an evil mind, I guess.
You want to schedule that "I'm stuck in traffic" email so that you're still sleeping when it's being sent. Right?
Yeah, that wouldn't fly here. There's no traffic. I can walk to my job in half an hour.
Right. What I'll say about Boomerang is I think of it as a email assistant and email tool. I used this 2-3 years ago now, and I loved the fact was I could get an email from Mark, and I could say, "I'm at work. I can't do this right now. Boomerang, bring this back into my inbox at 5 p.m. And then at 5 p.m. it would show up in my inbox as a new email. So I would get notifications on my device like a new email hit my inbox. since Google Now and since Google Now reminders, I don't need this. Because now when I get the email from Mark, I just say, okay, Google, set reminder, answer Mark's email at 5, you know, and then bam, it just works. So for my single use case, this now does not support my need. But what I didn't like about this company, I said this before, was I was using their tool. It worked well. And then 2 years ago or something, they said, oh, we're no longer free. If you want to use us, it's going to cost $5 a month.
That's a big change.
Well, and they gave us no free option at all for about a year and a half. And then a year and a half, and then like 6 months ago, a year ago, they decided, oh, we're going to have a free service again. And I'm like, whoa, once bitten, twice shy. And I figured out I don't really need it. But I will say, when I used it, I abused this service.
Many years ago, I don't know if you guys would even remember. Remember the email forwarding services that were popular? Bigfoot.com was one that I used. My email address was mark.cockrell@bigfoot.com because I wear a size 15. It seemed appropriate. And they just started one day, decided to charge. And it was a free service. And then it went like this one, from free to like $12 a month. And I'm like, $12 a month? That's, you know, $72 a year. That's ridiculous. Or wait, math fail, $144 a year. I can set up my own domain and mail server for a fraction of that. So I did. So I've been running my own domain for years because of that. And I think that's what happens with you know, Boomerang and other things. When you have this product and suddenly you decide to sell it, you don't make money. You just make enemies, I really think is how that usually works.
True.
Right. And I'll say, when they went to the pricing structure, they literally could have said, now everything you could do is still free, but if you want these new features or if you just want to support us, give us a little money. And I would have probably gave them at least some money, but I didn't want to be put into a corner like that. And that was the real reason I left. I felt like they you know, you back a dog into a corner, you're going to get bit. And yeah, I felt like they...
Which is why, starting after episode 400, all PodNut shows will be $6.95 per episode.
Yeah.
From this point on.
Oh, I didn't know we were going that high. I knew that we were going to be expensive.
You say that, and people are going to start believing it. You guys are jerks,
nobody,
man.
Puts door in a corner.
Yeah, like we need another reason to get the internet mad at us.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's a good spate. One voicemail, two emails. Any other final comments or thoughts before we say goodnight?
Mark, thank you for coming in and, dare I say, classing up this show a little bit. And I want to encourage people, elementop.com, check out Seth, check out Mark, check out Chris. Three really nice guys who I really wish went to more conferences so I could shake their hands and buy them maybe a steak dinner or a burger or a pizza from Illuminati's that took 2 hours to come to our table. But I'm not, you know, bitter at all. And thanks, everyone, for downloading, supporting, contributing, emailing, voicemailing, and everything else.
I want to say, dang you, Sean Johnson. You got me hooked on this AMZ review trader, and I've got just truckloads of stuff showing up at my house every day. One of the reasons I was on a ladder today was because I was installing a new antenna that I got for like, I don't know, $2, $5 or something. And I was mounting it up there, and then when I got it up there, it did nothing. It doesn't rotate. No signal. I don't know if there's missing wires or what, but most of the stuff's been pretty good. This one was I actually had to exercise, and then it was a dud. I was psyched, too. I was like, ooh, I might be able to kick Comcast to the curb with this new antenna. No such luck. Plus, I live over an hour away from any television station anyway, so it probably ain't going to work too well.
Yeah, radio waves really don't like to drive that far. They get, you know, 45 minutes, and they're looking for a hotel.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that there's a 100-mile run happening, beginning in my town in 2 weeks from now. And then it's like a one-day, 100-mile run. I'm like, I don't even like to drive 100 miles. You guys are nuts.
Wow, that's insane.
It is. It's called the Hennepin 100. And they're riding right along the canal the whole way, running along the canal the whole way. I don't know where these guys come from. I don't know.
Kenya.
I know. I should be there for the beginning of it just to see what it looks like.
There's a bike race out in East West Texas called the Hotter Than Hell, and there's a 50, a 100, and a 150 off-road through the desert bike race.
Ooh.
And the amazing thing is not that they do it, but that hundreds of people come out to do it. You know, it's 115 degrees out there. You're on a bike. You're going up this, you know, Guadalupe mountain range, and we'll say, you know, go here and stop at 150 miles. What the heck are these people thinking? But they do it every year.
Well, like you said now twice, make it a competition and people will do it.
All right. And so we're competing to be the best podcast on the internet about Android and apps and addicts. And we thank you for listening. Guys, thank you for letting me hang out with you. And I'm going to say that ends this show. We'll see you next week or next show or whenever the next one is.
Friday.
Yeah, that's it.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.